When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof, Allbirds or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling, and for the shoppers buying, simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet. And the not-so-secret secret, with Shop Pay, that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going... So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell wherever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Businesses that sell more sell on Shopify. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout Skims uses. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/audioboom, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/audioboom to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/audioboom.
Come on. Hello, dear listener. Before we get into today's show, quick ask. If you find value in today's show or you've gotten value out of a previous show, please leave us a quick 5-star review. Be super grateful. Thanks a lot. Welcome to Money Savage, Savage Approach to Personal Finance. This is George Grumbacher and the time is right. Welcome to today's guest, strong and powerful Sean O'Toole. Sean, are you ready to do this?
100%. Thanks for having me.
Yeah, you bet. Sean is the founder and CEO of PropertyRadar.com, an organization bringing greater transparency and stability to the real estate marketplace. I'm excited to have you on. Sean, tell us a little bit about your personal life, some more about your work, and why you do what you do.
Yeah, well, I started in Silicon Valley, three startups, and sold my stock in 99 and jumped into the real estate market. Until 2006, and again exited before the housing crash, and started a company called Foreclosure Radar, which tracked all the foreclosures and was kind of in the right place at the right time for the foreclosure crisis. And after that started to slow down, we became Property Radar, and we help small businesses reach their best potential customers.
Nice. There's a lot to be said for being in the right place at the right time, Sean.
No doubt. I've had a pretty good string there.
Nice. Well, I certainly appreciate that. So, yeah, and all that being said, and kind of all kidding aside, certainly, you, what was that attracted you to real estate after leaving Silicon Valley?
Well, for me, kind of being a little bit of a self-taught student of economics, right? I just saw that there was a lot of stimulus going into housing, and it seemed obvious to me that the Fed and other powers are going to be, or the powers that be, we're going to use real estate to kind of try to restart the economy. So I felt that was a good place to be. And I met a guy who was also a foreclosure expert, and I think we've all had that interest in, like, oh man, should I buy foreclosures? And so that was enticing as well.
Yeah. So just reading the tea leaves, getting into it and meeting this person, and then you saw, I'm assuming, what you expected start to happen, and then obviously the world explodes and you were, for lack of a better term, perfectly positioned?
Yeah, pretty much. It was a great time to be flipping real estate, kind of 2000 to end of 2005, 2006 timeframe. And, did 160 properties. Before I did it, I reviewed this guy who taught me the business, a bunch of his deals, and he had an 80% return on capital, including the time his money sat in the bank.
Wow.
I didn't do quite as well. I managed a 55% return over my run, but it was obviously a good business.
Yeah, fair enough. And what was the motivator to make the shift from Foreclosure Radar to then Property Radar?
Well, again, in 2009, kind of the world shifted. on the foreclosure front, right? Like I think regulators, et cetera, finally saw that you can't just foreclose on all these houses, have the banks take them back, and then force them to sell them at any price. And so there's a pretty big regulatory shift from getting rid of quote unquote bad assets as fast as you can to keeping homeowners in their homes. And seeing that shift, I knew that we needed to expand our business beyond foreclosures. Saw a huge opportunity in public records and making those available to small business, big businesses using them forever, and making that more accessible to small businesses to help them grow their business.
Got it. So fair enough. And how has the process gone? Has it gone as you expected it?
Yeah, we started off just in California. We started expanding, and then we kind of slowed that down to really get the product right. And we're launching nationally now, just in the coming weeks. And so excited to get that out to a lot more people. But I've had a lot of success with our customers here in California. I think public records is this huge untapped resource that lets you know every customer by name and, you know, really target those ones that are the best fit for your product.
Got it. Okay. So walk me through an example of maybe a perfect user for this tool.
Yeah. So, because we started off in the real estate space, right? Those are real estate realtors, real estate investors, mortgage, home services companies, you know, so maybe I'm a solar company and I want to target folks who have some equity, or maybe a pool company have some equity, have a, you know, property with enough space, large enough roof, et cetera. And I make a list of those companies using over 200 criteria, maybe everything from how old they are to the type of home, et cetera, or property, can be commercial as well. And then I can use that in, online ads, email marketing, call campaigns, even door knocking. So lots of different ways to reach folks once you kind of create that ideal list of customers. And it's really about, you know, we've had this huge thing happening where Zillow and Amazon Home Services and all these large companies are coming in and sticking themselves in between small businesses and their customers. And we really see this as a way for small businesses to go back out, reach out to those customers directly, so don't have to rely on these big companies for leads.
Well, I think that's an excellent way to look at it. And I'm sure certainly people are grateful for that. All right. So is there a term for real estate technology? I know fintech is obviously financial technology. Or maybe it falls under fintech.
Yeah, no, it's been dubbed prop tech. It's a pretty hot space these days, for sure.
Okay, so prop tech. And is what makes you... Because everybody has access to these public records. So is it that Google has more resources so they can harness it, and now you figured out how to do it as well?
I think the big thing is, right, like, so if you take out a home equity line of credit on your house, right, Home Depot picks up on that and they start marketing to you because they know you're likely to spend some of that money improving your house. But your local hardware store, your local lumber store, you know, isn't doing that, right? That those tools have never really been accessible to them. And the big public records data providers. Public records data is free, but it's very hard to access, right? Going and working with these government entities like a county recorder, county tax assessor, and getting access to the data is very difficult and time-consuming. And so we've just done all that hard work for these small local businesses so that they can, you know, start to compete with these larger players.
Got it. Well, fair enough. All right. Well, obviously, I see a million different uses for that. And as you are, obviously, you did a test run, or sort of figured out the market in California, which is massive, and now you're taking it all over the country. Is every state or how? And I appreciate how cumbersome it must be to actually gain access. Who controls that information? Is it municipalities, cities, states?
Yeah, it's largely the counties or county equivalent entities. There's 3,142 of them around the US or 44, depending on how you count. But and typically you need, in order to do it right, you really need access from the tax assessor's office. That's where you get the beds and baths and square footage and who the owner is. Then you need the county recorder, which is where you get the sales and mortgage information and all of that. And then usually the GIS department, which is where you get the boundaries of the property. And we pull in other data as well. It's quite a bit of data gathering for sure. And also county court records.
Got it. Nice. All right. And so how many different ways am I able to search? It's square feet.
Yeah, 200 criteria that we currently have, and we're adding more all the time. So that piece can be a little overwhelming for new users, and we always recommend that they get on the phone with one of our folks and kind of help walk them through it. And we have a lot of quick lists, you know, for common use cases, because, you know, really everything from a person's age to how long they've lived in the home, how much equity they have, who their lender is. All kinds of details about the house, from square footage to construction type. There's quite a bit of information available. It does vary a little bit from county to county, right? Different counties track different things.
Yeah, well, it certainly doesn't surprise me. So, okay. So, wow, that is a lot of information and lots of different ways to search. I don't need to totally shift gears on you, but that you keep you keep a pretty close eye on the housing market, the real estate market. I think that you mentioned that this also works on commercial properties.
Yeah.
How has that marketplace been? We're having this conversation on August the 31st. How is that marketplace being affected by what's going on?
Well, you know, it's pretty clear there's going to be some dislocation, right? I don't think anybody questions that. We're seeing a lot of companies go remote, but we also still see, you know, something like 50% of folks say they can't wait to get back to the office, right? A lot of folks want to escape the house too, right? So we're seeing both this huge surge in work from home, and we're also seeing people miss the office. I don't think office is going away. You know, lodging has been hit temporarily. I think some of these things are more likely to create some short-term dislocations and really some opportunities, right? So, you know, as these things shift and people shift their investment focus, you know, I think there'll be some opportunities to reimagine some space that maybe has been poorly used or can be better used. But you know, the U.S. is a strong and growing economy, and I don't think there's disaster ahead at all.
Yeah, fair enough. What do you think that we should be doing with shopping malls as they're closing down?
You know, the thing about shopping malls is that some of the best real estate in the United States, right? Centrally located, lots of parking, lots of space.
Sure.
There's so many ways they can be reimagined. You know. You know, I think community, you know, mixed use developments, I think, are pretty exciting for shopping malls. Amazon has talked about wanting to use some of that as distribution space because there's a lack of a good warehouse distribution space, and some of those buildings are pretty big. So there's possibilities there. I'd like to see them, though. You know, a lot of times they have, you know, food courts, and some of them are very nice. And, you know, I think they could become, you know, residential mixed use with a combination of residential commercial. You know, I think they have a lot of value there.
Yeah. Yeah. It's fascinating to try and just figure out and read the tea leaves on how all that's going to work out. What are your thoughts then if you feel like, and you think that the commercial market's maybe not going to be hit quite as hard as maybe people are thinking, what about the residential market?
Yeah, the residential market's actually surprised me. And you know, all real estate really is local, right? So you kind of need to look at the local trends as well. But, you know, big picture, right, we're seeing some move. You know, I call it the re-ruralization of America, right, where people can now, if they can work from home, they can be in maybe the place they want to live that has the activities that they like and the outdoor amenities and the rest. And I live in Tahoe, and Tahoe is absolutely booming. I think we'll see a doubling in the number of full-time residents here as a result. But, you know, people also enjoy cities. And I think as the coronavirus is dealt with, I think we'll see a lot of people go, wow, you know, maybe there was a little decline in price and maybe I can afford to live in a city and I like that lifestyle. And so I don't think it'll be all one or the other. I think it is local. And, you know, in a lot, many parts of California, we've been underbuilding incredibly. So I think that limited supply is going to be very bullish here. And, you know, in those areas where there hasn't been overbuilding, for sure, I don't think that it's going to take too hard of a hit. Yeah. Not that households aren't. A lot of households are hurt, right, especially at the lower incomes, right? Definitely a pretty major shock to income for a lot of folks. And I think housing is going to be a struggle for a lot of families for a while.
Yeah, well, I certainly echo that sentiment. So you live in California. No plans to jump ship, Sean?
Escape, yeah. This is a hot debate with my friends, especially with the some of the talk about even raising taxes further, as we're already a number one. You know, I was born and raised in California. Love the fact that I can surf or snow ski or surf and water ski or whatever, you know, all in the same day. It's a pretty amazing place in terms of its geography. You know, and I think that's part of how they can get away with having the highest taxes in the nation. It's just what an incredible place that it is overall. So, you know, despite its tax policy, it continues to outperform most economies in the U.S. kind of right. Texas is also doing well, you know, and it's one of the faster growing economies in the world if you think about it as a country. So it's got its challenges for sure, but I'm still fairly bullish on it.
Yeah, fair enough. Well, I'm excited to see the exciting progress out of Property Radar. As you've been working with it and as you've been watching people use it, are there areas or applications that you're surprised people are not using it more for, or do you see it doing something more than it's already doing?
You know, I'm really surprised with, you know, because our name is Property Radar, and we really are focused on those property centric businesses like realtors, real estate investors, mortgage, home services, solar construction, et cetera. How many folks outside of those industries use this, like the coffee shop that sends everybody new that moves into their neighborhood a postcard to come down for free coffee, or the nonprofit that reaches out to high net worth individuals to, you know, grow their local roster of donors. So, more surprised by just all the ways that it's being used that we didn't even really attend.
Yeah. I believe it. I think I'm sure it's going to keep expanding. So love it. Well, Sean, Savage Nation is ready for your difference making tip. What do you have for them?
I think all opportunity comes from change. You know, whether that change is good or bad, right? The internet was good change, COVID bad change, hurricanes bad change, e-commerce goods, self-driving cars, et cetera, right? And I think most people see change as a threat rather than an opportunity. And I think you have to flip that mindset to be successful. Whenever change comes, look for the opportunity in it and you'll do well.
Like, that is great stuff. That definitely gets a come on.
Come on.
Sean, thank you so much for coming on the show. Where can Savage Nation learn more about you, and where can they learn more about Property Radar?
Yeah, so propertyradar.com is our website. There's an about me there. I'm also on LinkedIn and Twitter and Facebook, as is the company. So I'd love to hear from you.
Excellent. Well, Savage Nation, if you enjoyed this as much as I did, show Sean your appreciation and share today's show with a friend who also appreciates good ideas. Go to propertyradar.com and check out the incredible tool that they've built. Go to LinkedIn, go to Twitter, go to Facebook, and I will list all of those in the notes of the show. Thanks again, Sean.
Thank you.
And until next time, keep fighting the good fight, because we are all in this together. Spending too much time on social? Is your daily screen time over 2 hours? Are you a little bit overweight? Not saving enough money? Any or all of these are familiar. Strive could be for you. The Strive 2-week online bootcamp will help you to detox your mind, body, and money, getting you on your way to a happier, healthier, wealthier, and more confident life. Go to strivedetox.com, strivedetox.com, and get your mind, body, and money right.
Everything from clothing to household items are getting more expensive each day. The world of fast fashion has complicated clothing production by shipping cheap parts around the world to whoever can sew them the cheapest. And now you, the consumer, are paying the price with rising costs. American Giant is about keeping things simple and close to home. They aren't affected by tariffs because their products never leave the U.S. Skip the tariff and snag yourself American-made clothing with American Giant. Get 20% off your first order when you use promo code STAPLE20 at American-Giant.com. That's 20% off when you use code STAPLE20 at American-Giant.com.